Welcome to the Vocation Hour with Father Stephen DeLacy, Director of the Vocation Office for Diocesan Priesthood in Philadelphia. This program is produced by the Archdiocese in conjunction with Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here is your host, Father DeLacy.
Okay, welcome to the Vocation Hour. This is Father DeLacy. I'm the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's a great joy to bring you the message of vocations. We're here on the show building up a culture of vocations. We have in store for you a wonderful show. We have two amazing guests who are living the vocation that God's calling them to and about to inspire us with their stories. But just wanted to make a little reflection, especially we're in the midst of this year of mercy. And God's mercy is so overabundant. And one of the ways he shows his mercy to us is he provides for us vocations. One of the convictions we have is that, you know, there's really no vocation crisis. That we believe that God's providing the church plenty of vocations to the priesthood, plenty of vocations to the religious life, plenty of vocations to the married life, that every aspect of the church's needs are being provided for by God, because every vocation is a gift that comes from God, and it's a gift of God's mercy. The challenge we have in the church today is a response crisis or a discipleship crisis, that we are not the people of God that are saying to God, whatever you want me to do, I will do. So often we try to fit God into our lives as opposed to allowing our lives to fit into what God has prepared for us. And so as we continue to engage this year of mercy, one of the beautiful experiences of God's mercy is to grow in this knowledge of, you know, we don't fit God in our lives. You know, God is bigger than that. That we fit into God's plan, into God's love. We fit into God's life in a beautiful way. And once we recognize that, there is just such a beautiful freedom when we fit into God's life. And so, you know, this year of mercy, there's many wonderful graces. And one of the graces is people come to know who they are in the life of God. You know, thinking about the woman caught in adultery. You know, she was being dragged around by the leaders of the Jewish faith at that time, trying to test Jesus. You know, she had been, you know, used at one level by the man she was committing adultery with. He was nowhere to be seen. You know, she's once again being used by these religious leaders to try to test Jesus. Dragged around, and they try to, you know, cause Jesus to, you know, fall into their trap. And it says, you know, what should we do with her? And, you know, Jesus had, you know, a couple landmines to avoid. You know, one, if he said, well, don't worry about it, you know, just forgive her, though, they would accuse him of disregarding the law. And what does Jesus do? He kind of, you know, goes down and starts writing on the ground and says, you know, well, you who are without fault, cast the first stone. And one by one, they walk away. And then he's there alone with this woman. And, you know, she's so filled with shame. She's so wounded by the experience. And he answers, is there anyone here to condemn you? No one, sir. Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And at that moment, Jesus communicates to her her dignity, her purpose in life, gives her a renewed sense of her self-worth and self-love as he communicates his powerful love to her. And in that encounter, you know, if we don't know how she responded exactly, but she has the potential of having this life-changing experience with our Lord where she's able to walk away knowing better who she is as she relates to God. And so that's the goal of our vocations, of discerning what plan does God have in our lives? What purpose are we made for? How has God loved us into existence? And really, you know, when somebody is able to discern their vocation, it is a powerful gift of mercy. Our Lord doesn't give us our vocations as, you know, as a curse or as a cross or as, you know, an inconvenience. He's not just up there, you know, messing with our lives and that sort of thing, which fortunately I thought that in my life when I was receiving the vocation to the priesthood. The gift of our vocation is his mercy. And that when we come to understand that, we then can trust our Lord in such a way that we fully cooperate with the mercy that God has given to us. And so as we continue in this year of mercy and, as you're listening to the Vocation Hour radio show and we're trying to build up a culture of vocations, each and every one of us then are game changers potentially by receiving God's mercy in such a way that we engage our own vocation. It has a powerful, effect on the life of the church to inspire other vocations, to inspire others to respond to God as God wants us to respond. Everyone can do that. That's the good news. Parents and teachers and grandparents and, neighbors and just, people that are faithful going to church. We can all build up this culture of vocations by, in our own lives, responding to God's merciful love for us in this wonderful gift that he loves all of us so much that he allows us to participate in his plan. Well, praise God. It is wonderful to have on our show today two men who are wonderful and gifts to the church in every way, and that the church is eagerly anticipating that this May, I don't know the exact date, though they'll share it, I'm sure, that this coming May, these men will be ordained priests. They are transitional deacons right now, and they're both studying for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and praise God, if all goes according to plan, will be ordained priests this coming May. And so it's with great joy and enthusiasm that I invite, or I welcome, Matt Beadricky, Deacon Matt Beadricky to the show, and Deacon Matt Windle. Welcome both to the show.
It's good to be here, Father. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for having us.
And now both are Deacon Matt's here, and do you want to just kind of say your name so that the listeners can have a sense on whose voice goes with who?
This is Deacon Matt Beadricky speaking.
This is Deacon Matt Windle speaking.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, this is exciting. Why don't we start, Deacon Matt Windle, why don't we start with you? And do you want to share with us what led you to the seminary? Do you want to share with us your vocation story? I know it's taken some twists and turns and some exciting adventures, so I'm over-exaggerating that a little bit, but if you want to share with us your vocation story and how has God brought you to this point in your life?
Sure. I would say, when I was younger, probably in first grade, I remember feeling that God was calling me to the priesthood or something different about the priesthood. And I remember saying, I do not want to do this. And I ignored it pretty much through most of my grade school, even though it was kind of always God kind of tapping me on the shoulder. Even through high school, it kind of brought back up again. But I always kind of said to him, no. So after high school, I pretty much worked full time for about 10 years. I worked once for 1 year at a bank and at a financial company for 9 years. So about 4 years into working at the financial company, I started thinking that I needed some kind of change. And I started praying and thinking about my life. And one thing kept on crossing my mind, and that was to become a priest. I didn't want to become a priest, and I told him no. I wanted to get married. I wanted to do my own plans. I wanted to own my own business. I wanted to be successful in the secular world kind of view. But I continued to pray, and I continued to trust in God. And about 5 years after working there, for about 5 years, I decided this is not going to go away. So I contacted the vocation director at the time, which was Father Rogers, Christopher Rogers. And he said to me, okay, you know what? It was July of 2008. I remember this. And he said, you know what? I think God, there's something here, and I think you should come to the seminary in September. And I said, no. So there's a lot of times in my life I keep on saying no, but it's only one time you really need to say yes to God. And so I said, you know what? Let me have a year to talk to somebody about it. And he set me up with the priest, Father Nordeman. And we talked about a year about the priesthood and what it would be like in the seminary. And I said that there's only way to really know is to actually enter the seminary. And I did that of the fall of the year 2009. So 7 years later, here I am. And it's been a roller coaster ride, but it's been a great roller coaster ride. Trusting in the Lord and loving the Lord is probably the most I got out of coming into seminary. And like I said, you only have to say once yes, and God will take care of it from there.
Wonderful. And just your vocation story, you know, thank you so much. That's what powerfully said. And, you know, I think so often, you know, in vocation stories, we end up saying more no's to God than yes, you know, at least initially. And we eventually get around to giving that yes to God. A lot of parents ask, like, you know, my son who is in the third grade, my son is in the fourth grade, my daughter who is in the second grade is saying that she wants to become a religious sister. These guys are saying that they want to become priests. What do you think could have been done, you know, for you, you know, at that young age that would have encouraged you a vocation at that point?
You know, I honestly can tell you that the best thing they did for my parents and everything that is just did what they did is that not push anything and just kind of take a step back. I was fortunate enough that my parents were supportive and they actually taught me the faith and we prayed the rosary together. We did a lot of things as a family, as a Catholic family. So I think the best thing they did for me is not push me. I think for me personally, that was probably the best.
Praise God. Praise God. And how many siblings do you have?
I am one of five. So I have four brothers. God bless my mom. She's going to get into heaven just because, you know, she has to be around all of us.
That's awesome. Just curious, what were their reaction when you finally, you know, gave the yes to God?
So I would say the brothers that are closer in my age, they were not really surprised about it. The younger brothers were really thrilled about it. And my parents, they weren't really surprised either, but they never said anything to me about it. And I think it was just one of those things, they were allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me through it. And they knew who I was. And I think if they pushed me, I would have pushed further back the other way. But I've been very blessed and fortunate that my family, my brothers have been very fortunate, very blessed and very fortunate that they've been with me the whole step.
Wonderful. What parish are you from? Where did you grow up? Where did you go to high school?
So I went to Sacred Heart in Manoa. That's where I went to grade school, and that's my home parish now. And then I went to Haverford Public School. Mm-hmm. And then as I was working, I went to night school at Rosemont College, and I finished my degree there.
Oh, tremendous, tremendous. In accounting or finance or?
I was business management.
Nice, nice. That's wonderful. So, and then, you know, during the, you know, before the seminary, were there any, you know, in addition to seeing Father Norderman as a spiritual director, was that the relationship you were
in? That was pretty much, which I didn't know what the actual terminology was at the time, but now looking back on it, it was absolutely spiritual direction type.
Were there other kind of prayers and things that kind of assisted your discernment at that point?
I would say probably one of the biggest ones was the rosary. I would say that Mary, in a very special way, I have a very special devotion to her. And I would say that she was gently leading me on. I mean, I was saying earlier that tap when I was really younger, sometimes I think it was her just tapping me and just to recognize it. But as I got older, that tap became much harder and harder and says, you really need to pay attention to this now. And I think she kind of placed it in my heart when I was younger. And I remember, like, the nuns, especially one particular when I was in sixth grade, Sister Donna Kelly, that really, you know, taught me, you know, the devotion to the rosary. And it really, really, really helped me with my discernment.
Praise God. It was like Mary was successful in teaching you to stop saying no.
Exactly.
And give that yes. So wonderful. Well, you know, thank you, Deacon Matt Wendell. We have Deacon Matt Biedricki here. So do you want to share with us your vocation story? How did God work in your life in such a way that you're sitting here in the midst of the Vocation Hour, you know, radio show? And before we do that, just wanted to, if you're coming in, to the show late, my name is Father DeLacy. I'm the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. You are listening to the Vocation Hour, you know, a radio show dedicated to building up a culture of vocations in our area. And, I'm here with two, you know, wonderful men of God who are giving their lives to God, to build up the kingdom of God. We just heard from Deacon Matt Wendell, and now we're asking, Deacon Matt Biedricki what his vocation story is.
Thank you, Father. My name is Deacon Matthew Biedricki, as Father DeLacy was saying, and my path to, the priesthood really began to take shape, especially in, I guess, the last year of high school. I'd grown up in a Catholic family, went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, and it wasn't until senior year of high school that the really quintessential questions in life started to peck at me a little more than they had ever before. And I pushed them away for a while, but as I got on in my education, I went to Temple University, and at Temple University, I really began to be confronted with them in a very real way, and challenged to answer them. You know, why am I here, and you know, where am I going in life? And in the midst of that, I can see I wasn't alone in trying to answer them and encounter them. I was in the midst of a community. I was in the midst of my family. I was in the midst of, you know, the church. And really, it was through a greater involvement in the church, greater involvement in the sacramental life of the church, especially in regards to the Eucharist. It was really a profound encounter with the Eucharist that led to that moment of surrender for the first time. And I wasn't necessarily surrendering to the idea, like, I'm going to be a priest, but a surrender to the love and the peace that Jesus Christ offers each and every one of us in that great sacrament. And the path to discerning really what Christ was calling me to do from that point on, it began with simply just trying to pray more and to begin reading the scriptures and learn what the church teaches on any number of subjects, but really getting to the heart of the mystery, and that is, who is Jesus Christ, and who is he to me, and who is he to the church? Where does all this fit together? And you begin to walk that life with Christ. You begin to walk as a disciple and trying to follow him as best you can with what you got. And that's where the priesthood really started to dawn on me, as something, not this looming kind of fearful thing, but as really, this is the great gift that God has offered me, the way he is calling me particularly to serve him best and really to be fulfilled most fully. So it was in August 2010. I just graduated from Temple University and entered St. Charles Seminary after time in spiritual direction and really continuing to encounter Christ in the church. And it's been a wild ride, and I'm excited to finally be here and to be speaking to you today. And I'm May 21st, 2016. I think that's when ordination would be. Is that right, Matt, Father?
Woohoo! That's gonna be wonderful. I probably should never make that noise again, but especially with the
sounds cold of joy.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And the church is rejoicing. It's going to be a glorious day and that sort of thing. Just since we're mentioning this wonderful day, you know, if you're a man who's discerning a call to the priesthood, the vocational office actually is given a certain amount of tickets, and it's actually a pretty premier spot in the cathedral for the ordination. So just wanted to put that plug out there that, you know, if you're a man discerning a call to the priesthood and you want to come to the ordination just to experience that, it really can be a powerful moment to kind of, you know, confirm, you know, a vocation. So, you know, I invite you to come and consider that. You're able to reach out to me through our website. It's Heed the Call. That's www.heedthecall.org. And all my contact information plus some videos and upcoming events. One thing that my office, you know, runs is Come and See weekends. And so opportunities to come to the seminary to be on retreat, to have a prayerful experience in the midst of experiencing and sharing the life that the seminarians have at the seminary. And it really becomes a powerful tool for your own discernment to see, you know, is what God is doing in the lives of the seminarians happening in my heart and in my mind? And is there something resonating there? And that usually is the time that most guys are able to say, yes, this is happening there. And praise God, discernment's not it's about discernment. It's not about recruitment. I keep saying that over and over again, that, you know, like, there are many guys that come and see weekends and they're like, this is clearly not for me. And praise God for that to be resolved. If there's something that resonates and like, yeah, this, I feel draw to this place. I feel like this place is home for me. You know, then that's usually a sign that taking that next step forward, to enter the seminary is the next step to bring your vocation and this discernment to a resolution, whether it be coming into the seminary, then discerning out, which we would consider a success. Again, it's not about recruitment. It's about discernment. It's about helping everyone that is feeling the prompting that God may be calling them to the priesthood to discern that correctly. Or, you know, as these two wonderful men of God have discerned that they are moving forward to become, you know, because they have come to the sense that God is calling them to the priesthood, and the church is confirming that through the use of the seminary. Well, praise God, we just heard Deacon Matt Biedricki's, you know, vocation story, and you mentioned, Deacon Matt, the profound encounter you had with the Eucharist. Do you mind just kind of talking about that a little bit more? What did that look like, and what was that experience?
Sure, Father. I remember in college, I was very much involved with the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. They're a ministry in colleges throughout the United States. They run Bible studies and really a student leadership program, which is affectionately called discipleship. And when I really began to get involved in that, I was invited to come to a youth conference in Texas in 2008. And it was in the midst of this youth conference, there was much talk about apologetics, the defense of the faith, much teaching on scripture. It was really the first time I began to encounter my religious beliefs in a very, I don't know how to say, a more adult manner, more mature manner. And during the course of this conference, there was much time for adoration. I remember distinctly one night being in adoration with the Blessed Sacrament, when the Blessed Sacrament is placed in the monstrance and it's set before us on an altar for all of us to really just encounter our Lord in that moment of silence. And there's 3,000 college students on their knees in the grand ballroom of this hotel where the conference was hosted. And I just remember a peace that I hadn't experienced anywhere before just washing over me. And it was trying to make sense of that encounter. You know, that I've heard one priest call it a 4 o'clock moment. You know, there's this great story in the Gospel of John where the disciples encounter Christ, and they say it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And why would they remember that particular time? And there was something profound about that moment. And that, if I had to pick a 4 o'clock moment, that was the one. And from there, that's really where a lot of beautiful things began to be set afoot.
Yeah. Beautiful. And then, you know, just like, you know, Deacon Matt Windle here ended up, you know, in conversation with Father John Nordeman, were there any priests then that you turned to kind of seek guidance and get advice from?
Yeah, after I really began to believe Christ was calling me to consider the priesthood, I finally decided to take the first step. Father, you had mentioned that the possibility about or attending one of the ordinations this year. In 2008, I had the opportunity to attend the priesthood ordination that May. And it really was the tipping point that made this thought about a vocation into a serious consideration of, you know, what is God calling me to do? And it may be priesthood. And being in that cathedral and seeing those men literally laying down their lives, there's a moment in the ordination where the candidates for ordination, the ordinandi, will lay down on the marble as the congregation prays the litany of saints over them. And it was in that moment, I remember feeling just an electric in the air and thinking, there's something real happening here. This is more than just a job. There's a mission that these men are being set aside for in this moment. And that might be the mission that God has called me to endeavor upon too. And that being, that led to really engaging Father Chris Rogers, the same that Deacon Matt Windle had spoken to as well. Father Chris Rogers really helped me to begin putting into place those things that needed to be in place to discern more fruitfully what God was calling me to do. And I remember a retreat with Father Rogers, a come and see retreat I'd gone on, and he mentioned that when the priest says, "This is my body, this is my blood," you know, he's speaking for Christ and Christ's place in that moment, but Christ is using him, and in some way, really, that Eucharist becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and it's also by virtue of the priest's body and blood, you know, offering up himself to be that sacrifice in that moment, and it brought it all together in a very real way for me, that this priesthood that Jesus Christ has given us is so much greater than anything we can possibly fathom. Mm. It's a beautiful, beautiful call.
Mm. Praise God. It's such a wonderful gift, you know, and you have the sense of why I'm so enthusiastic for the church that on May 21st of 2016, that these two, you know, men of God, God willing, will be ordained priests. And it's going to be, did I get the date right?
May 21st.
May 21st. That's wonderful.
What time in the morning, Matt?
10 o'clock.
So you hopefully will be there before 10 o'clock, but, that it's wonderful. And so I'm sure some of you are sitting there listening. Boy, I wish these men were assigned to my parish. They'd be wonderful. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll be coming to a parish near you, you know, before too long. You know, oftentimes the assignments start about 4 weeks afterwards. And so, you know, pay attention to your church bulletins. If, you know, the church can be bought if you wanted to. No, I'm kidding. Bad, bad joke. Anyway, we'll just move on from that. So, Deacon Matt Windle, so you arrived at the seminary. Were you ready to preach? Were you ready? Did you know how to pray fully? Did you know all the theology that you needed to know? What did the seminary do anything for you? No.
Absolutely. I knew everything beforehand. No, I would say that one of the things coming into, and one of the things I talked to Father Norman about, and Father Chris Rogers, and a couple other people, is that I said, I don't like public speaking. I don't like being in front of people. And I started going through the list of different things I don't like doing, and they just laughed and said, some of them said, neither did I. And now looking back 7 years later, and you realize is that the seminary, one, helps you discern. Two, is that the primary person in your life that's helping you discern is the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And if you are called to become a priest, he will help you. Some days they are tough, but there's so many great days that are joyful and there's joy that just goes around that you just realize that God really is present in this world. And I would say that the last 7 years, he's definitely shown me, you know, he is visible in this world.
Mm, wonderful, wonderful. I keep threatening this on the show that I'm going to make up a bunch of bumper stickers that God doesn't call the most qualified. He qualifies those who he calls, and that there's a preparation and grace that we go through, you know, and especially in preparing for priesthood, we go through it through the seminary where God really prepares us and equips us for whatever he's calling us to. He never leaves us abandoned. And so that's all part of that journey and that trust in our Lord. So, you know, Deacon Matt Biedricki, what are some of the things that the seminary has tools and abilities that the seminary has kind of fostered in you that you have at this point?
A lot of patience, Father. A lot of patience. No, no, I think we all need to grow in patience a little bit. And, you know, certainly life offers those opportunities. But really a place, you know, patience is a good example of one particular virtue where the seminary helps you to really contemplate what it means to be a patient person, or what it means to be a courageous man, what it means to be a prudent individual, really fostering men of virtue, men of character, men who are conformed to Jesus Christ, not just in being able to distribute the sacraments and to be able to preach one day, but to be in their very persons, Christ to the people of God. And that takes a lot more than just what you learn in a book or what you are able to say well or speak eloquently about. It encompasses so much more than that. It encompasses your entire person, because that's who Jesus is calling. He's not calling you to a job. He's calling you to a mission. Mm-hmm. And in that mission, you're going to become the person that he has intended you to be from all time. Whether that is as a priest particularly, or as a religious, or as a married person, you know, that is the way you are going to be sanctified. That is the way that you are going to come to sainthood. And when you embrace that fully, it changes everything. And the seminary not only offers that with the, as we would call that, human formation, particularly that life of growth in the virtues, but even in what we learn and what we study as well, it gives you lots to reflect upon in terms of what this great mystery of love that we've been invited to encounter each day is all about, whether it be in theology or scripture or philosophy. it's always a beautiful experience to be a part of, to be invited to.
Praise God, and well said. This is wonderful. Well, you are listening to the Vocation Hour. If anyone is listening to this thinking like, oh, I wish my son or my friend or my nephew, you know, could hear these guys. These guys, you know, sound normal, which they are. They sound great. You know, the church is going to be blessed by their priesthood. You know, I wish this person could hear it. Well, the good news is, you know, the archive version of this is easily available. You know, after this airs, you can, you know, get it on the website. You know, Heed the Call. If you just click on the Vocation Hour, and you can see all of our archive shows, and we have a lot of wonderful, beautiful vocation testimonials and insights into how to build up a culture of vocations. My name is Father Steve DeLacy. I'm the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And if I can help you, if something's resonating in your mind and heart, especially if you're a young man who, you know, this idea of priesthood is starting to resonate there, you may not be happy about it as we've heard in our vocation stories. You know, my job is to help you, and I'm happy to help. And you can reach out to me through the website. That's Heed the Call, www.heedthecall. So guys, what's, you know, you're towards the end of your seminary career. What's your favorite thing about the seminary? Or I can ask another way. What's the thing you're going to miss the most about the seminary?
I would say one of the things I would say I would miss the most is just the people. And you know what? The seminary, it's a great opportunity where you can get peace, and you can get where you can allow the Holy Spirit to really discern in very specific ways. And I think you're never going to miss that, because that's your first real place where you seriously discern the call. And I think there's always going to be a piece of that left in me.
Wonderful.
I would want to echo that too. The peace that Matt was talking about that you experience at the seminary. I sit in the chapel. We've sat in the chapel every day. And it's this year especially, I've really begun to appreciate the great opportunity we've had over the last few years to seriously discern and seriously pray over what this means, not only for us individually, but for the church. What does the priesthood mean? And what is this mission I'm being called to? And that it's in that prayer that I think Matt would agree our vocations really grew out of. Because it's when you begin to enter more deeply into that mystery, you start to see clearly, you know, there's not distinctive signs or certainties, you know, certainly in the life of a disciple, you know, wherever he goes, you want to follow him, and you don't always know where that's leading. But it's in that piece that I think I know I've come to some clarity that this is the way that God wants me to be with him now and in eternity. So bring it on. This is great.
Oh, praise God. And what's been the most challenging thing for you as you've, you know, progressed through the seminary and the church through the seminary has been trying to form you into, you know, a man who's ready to minister the gospel?
I would say the challenging, but it was worth it, because it would be surrendering to God, bending your will to do what God wants you to do. It's challenging because sometimes it can be exhausted, and sometimes you start to say, you know, where this doesn't make sense. But then after you reflect on it and you look back and you realize that he stretches you much, much further than you would ever get stretched in any other part of your life. And now I'm looking back and it's saying, you know, just imagine a pool. Imagine you getting put in and you're asked to swim an inch. And you're like, wow, that was a lot for me. And then he asks you to swim more to, like, maybe a foot, and then so on and so on. And next thing you know, you're swimming the whole pool with no problem. But to do that, you're getting stretched. And that's what I feel like at the seminary they do, is that they stretch you, they challenge you. And it's been great, because now you look back on it, reflect, and you realize where I am now is much better than I was 7 years ago.
And this guy who's like, I don't want to do public speaking, listen to him now on the Vocation Hour radio show. He's doing a great job here. So thank you so much, Deacon Matt there, and Deacon Matt.
I just want to echo that. Deacon Matt Wendell was preaching at the seminary today, and I can attest he's ready for the job. So ready for the mission ahead. It's a good thing. We have a father who keeps his promises, and that's a very a message we all need to hear from time to time. As far as my own personal experience with seminary and its challenges, I do like certainty, and I like to know what's happening ahead of time. I like to plan for things. And there's always moments in the life of a seminarian or even as a priest, the unexpected unexpectedly happens. And you really, while you don't like it and you don't like uncertainty, you certainly learn how to encounter it fruitfully, patiently, and with a little bit of grace. You know, hopefully, you're, I don't know, it's not a lost opportunity for growth. So the uncertainty that accompanies a vocation to the priest, if I were to think of something specifically, I think schedule changes. And there's always a moment where you're like getting ready for the day and you have everything quite set up, and then you realize that, oh, well, the location of Mass was changed, and on top of that, dinner was moved to this time, and you need to be on a bus, too, because you're going downtown for something. And you just roll with it after a while.
It almost gets to the point that the unexpected expectantly happens.
a little bit.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad I've noticed that neither one of you said that the your greatest challenge or your thing that you're going to miss the most, neither one of you mentioned the refectory. So I don't know if we need to touch that, but I just wanted to.
It's a love-hate relationship.
So what is going on right now in the mind and the heart of a man who if I'm doing the math correctly, in 4 months through about 3.5 months, it will be on, nose will be hitting the marble, as they say, in the floor of the cathedral. What's it like to be preparing for, the ordination to the priesthood? How about, from a spiritual preparation perspective, a leaving the seminary perspective, and then also like the busyness that this generates?
I would say it's a mixed motions. I would say, there's fear involved because you realize the unworthiness that we are called to, but there's also excitement because God is calling us to this and he's going to be there with us. So it's a mixed emotions in the fact that you're scared and you're excited, and it's exciting. It's exciting planning for everything. It's exciting just to, you see the professors and everybody are excited for you, and it's just an exciting time.
Mm-hmm. I want to come back to something you said a moment ago, Father, about God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Mm. Or God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. That's something I've been reflecting on a lot in the last few weeks, especially as we've begun this last semester. We begin our classes that are more or less transitioning us to what we'll actually be doing as priests. And one class is called our Sacramental Practicum. We learn how to really to minister the sacraments to the people of God. And there's all sorts of questions running through your mind. Am I going to say the right thing? Do I move my hand in this way? Do I have the right oil on me for the right anointing? Mm-hmm. And you start thinking about all these little particular things. And as we went on, one of our teachers said, you're a lot more experienced and better equipped than you realize. Mm-hmm. And it's not all of what we learned at seminary alone. That's certainly a big part of it, and I'm really grateful for that personally. But God is working in our hearts in ways we can't quite imagine. And allows us to experience trials and difficulties so that we may grow in confidence and trust in his mercy that is really guiding this entire experience, this entire journey. So that reality that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, is something I've been coming back to time and again. And in the midst of the excitement, it's also been keeping me calm, keeping me at peace in the fact that God is going to be with me. He hasn't gotten us this far to leave us now. Mm. That sort of thing. We have a Father who keeps his promises.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. That's powerful. So, well, we have two men who are preparing for to be ordained as priests this coming May 21st. It's going to be a great day of great rejoicing. How many other men will be ordained with you on that day?
It'd be two others besides us.
So
four of us all together.
Four total. So that's tremendous. And what you know, right now you're a lot of times a transitional deacon, and that's the proper terminology for this, for these deacons. They're just as much a deacon as a permanent deacon, but a permanent deacon has reached their final destination as what they're called to. These transitional deacons, it's their final step of preparation before being ordained as priests. A lot of times a transitional deacon is referred to as having one foot in the seminary, one foot out of the seminary. And I think that has multiple meanings to it, but, certainly, there's a significant part of your life right now. Already you're doing parish ministry. And, do you want to talk about your diaconate assignment and, how that's been going? Some of the things that you've learned to do. Maybe you'll reflect on the first time you had a chance to baptize and that sort of thing.
I would say I had a unique opportunity where last year I was at the parish for the whole year instead of being at the seminary. And I stayed in the same parish, St. Patrick's in Malvern, and for my diaconate assignment. So it was just neat being able to see what I couldn't do before and wanted to do in the parish, such as baptisms and other things such as preaching. And now doing it now is just really neat to see.
Mm.
Baptisms are probably one of my favorite things to do. It's exciting. Everybody's excited to be there, and I think it's just really fun to do. And then the homilies and everything. I think everything is just enjoyable. Like I didn't realize how much I would enjoy it until you actually start doing it.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to agree, especially. Focusing on the baptisms in particular, I've been at St. Andrew's in Newtown, Pennsylvania. It's a big parish, but it's amazing in spite of its size just how intimate of a community it really is. Mm. And I remember particularly over the summer really being concerned about getting everything right in the baptism and doing things right. And a few months after the fact, this one baptism particularly I had the chance to be the minister for, I received a card in the mail, a little thank you note from the family, and it's a great picture on the front. Mom and Dad look really happy. I'm smiling. And then little James is wailing, is crying his eyes out. And even if you do everything according to the book, you're not going to please everybody. And that's a beautiful lesson to learn as a transitional deacon in the Catholic Church. But that, in spite of all, the ups and downs, the trips and falls you experience with just getting used to a new role, a new position, a new mission, really enjoyed, especially preaching. That's been really a great blessing for me personally. I love the opportunity to be able to share with people the great gift that we've been given in the scriptures and what exactly this life of discipleship means, not only to me, but really in the grand scheme of the Christian life, and to be called upon to be someone especially appointed to do that, because the only ones who are officially commissioned to preach in the church are deacons, priests, and bishops. And to be officially sent for that particular purpose is really something beautiful, and to participate in the bishop's ministry of preaching, to share in that is something pretty amazing. And to do that as a deacon is pretty cool too.
That's outstanding. That's outstanding. Well, we're looking ahead for your priestly ordination, but let's reflect back. A lot of times, people have the sense, the priesthood is the big day, and in a lot of ways it is the big day, but in many ways, the lifelong commitments that a priest makes has already been made by you at your diaconate, ordination. So, do you want to talk a little bit about what are those specific commitments, and then maybe go back and forth and describe specifically what those commitments entail?
Well, at the ordination, there's a number of promises the priest makes. Probably the most fundamental that comes to people's minds for priests in the Catholic Church is that they make a promise of celibacy, and that means they choose not to take a wife. It's by law of the church, but at the same time, it is really part of the mission of the Catholic priest to be totally committed, totally available, present to his people, not only as a practical matter, but really as a sign of the great mystery of love that Jesus Christ has for his church, for his bride, the church. So that's probably the big one that people think about. And in living that after a few months and, you know, for the rest of my life, is something that may have seemed very intimidating to me at first, but as I see now, it's very liberating. It's actually very freeing, and it's beautiful. And coupled with that is the promise of obedience, another very vivid sign in the ordination rite itself, where the candidate for the priesthood or the diaconate will place his hands in the bishop's hands and say, "I promise obedience to you and your," or the bishop asks, "Do you promise obedience to me and my successors?" And you say, "I do." And you walk down the steps again. And that promise of obedience, in a like manner, can seem restricting or, you know, a real great pain at times. But at the same time, that is actually one of the greatest gifts, because it's Christ learned obedience through what he suffered. And by that obedience to our Father in heaven, led us to redemption, led us to the greatest mercy we'll ever know in this life and in the next. So those two particular promises stick out in my mind.
Mm, yeah, wonderful. And let me just comment too. You mentioned the promise of celibacy. I was actually giving a talk at an RCA last night, and one of the candidates was just so blown away. My conversation was about holy orders and vocations, appropriately being the vocation director. And in the conversation, this one man mentioned that the reason why he was there was because, you know, him and his wife were having some challenges, and they kept going to, you know, their local parish priest. And he was blown away that every time he had a problem, he just picked up the phone, called the priest, and the priest said, "Okay, when can you come over?" And that availability to the people of God, that the gift of celibacy, allows the priest to be able to give to the church, is very powerful and very impactful. You know, some have speculated, and I see some truth in it, you know, in my own prayer life, that, you know, there's the Eastern Church, you know, which is, you know, has everything that the Western Church has in terms of, you know, the Eastern Catholic rites and that sort of thing. The one difference was, you know, the Western Church, the Latin Rite, you know, Catholics always had this commitment of celibacy. And we are significantly larger than the, you know, our Western, you know, brethren and that sort of thing. Not better, but just larger. And some have speculated that it's the fruit of celibacy, you know, in the clergy that has brought it, that has generated such fruitfulness in the life of the church. And so, you know, I never thought I would say this when I was a seminarian and discerning, but I can tell you that celibacy is awesome. It's hard, but it is awesome, and it does bear great fruit. So anyway, Deacon Matt Windle, do you want to, you know, mention some of the other promises in particular?
Well, I actually want to echo what Deacon Matt Beendricky and what you said, Father, is that especially what Deacon Matt Beendricky said about the obedience and celibacy, and it's not restriction, it's actually freedom. And I really started seeing it this past year with we always hear the term spiritual father. Mm-hmm. And I think I more and more saw it this past year with the fact of people just sharing intimate moments with you and asking them to pray with you and asking them to pray for people who are dying in their family, visiting them in the sick. And you realize is that, you know, you're available to them in many ways that nobody else can be.
Mm-hmm.
And they welcome you in part of their lives that nobody else can be part of that. And just seeing that as a deacon, it's great. Going forward as a priest, being able to do much more is going to be awesome.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely. And how about too? I was hoping that you guys would address the commitment of prayer. What kind of commitment of prayer do you make as a deacon and priest and bishop?
Well, one of the fundamental commitments of prayer is to pray without ceasing. So we actually spend all our time in prayer. No, I wish that was the case, but no, there is a very distinctive form to that commitment to pray without ceasing. There's a order in the church or an office, they call it the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office, and you pray several times throughout the day, once in the morning, in the evening, at midday, at night, and there's a fifth hour to this office called Office of Readings. There you go. I have been praying, I promise. But in that moment, you're praying actively for the church. You're interceding on behalf of the church to God, as is your role in your mission within Jesus Christ's mission as high priest, interceding for us to the Father. That's the distinctive form that the commitment to prayer takes. But there's also it's incumbent upon the priest to be a man of personal prayer too, not just the liturgical prayer alone. You know, he should have his own devotions to the Lord. And we always hear often about this holy hour and spending time with our Lord in the Eucharist and with Scripture, really just coming to re-encounter him every day. It's very much like a marriage. You know, if a husband and wife truly love each other, they're going to be in touch throughout the day. They're going to be calling each other from work, just checking in, seeing how they're doing. Even when they get home, just spending a few moments together. If they have to go do something else, they'll come back again. Continually re-encountering the Lord, just getting to know and fall in love more and more each day. That is the distinctive form that praying without ceasing takes in life of a priest.
Well, praise God that this vocation hour is going by very quickly with two of the four men who will be ordained priests for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia on May 21st. My name is Father DeLacy. I'm the vocation director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. You are listening to the Vocation Hour. If you want to hear an archived copy of this, you can go to the Heed the Call website, where you can also find my contact information and some of the various programming that the office offers. If you are a man who is, you know, something is stirring in your mind and heart about the priesthood, you know, you don't have to go through this alone. There are helps out there. Feel free to reach out and contact, you know, us. We are quickly coming down to the wire here. One, I want to thank Jocelyn, our producer, for the great work that she does to keep the Vocation Hour running. And, gentlemen, we have about five more minutes to go, so we want to give you guys your final word, and also what advice would you give to, you know, someone who is considering a call to the priesthood?
I would say one of the things that stuck in my heart and continues is the fact of, which is this week's gospel, where the fishermen, Jesus at the end of, after they catch all the fish that he asks them to, he says, "Do not be afraid. I'll make you fishers of men." And I think that's what it is. "Do not be afraid" is something just to stay with you. Is that, you know, we are afraid, but if you let yourself be guided by God, He will bring you to a better person.
Mm-hmm. I guess the one piece of advice I would think of is coming to mind. I've really grown to love over the years the letter to the Hebrews. And when you read the letter to the Hebrews, you hear a great deal about what it means to call Jesus Christ our high priest, our shepherd, the one who intercedes for us to the Father. And really, there's a beautiful chapter, chapter 11 of the letter to the Hebrews, where there's a great meditation on faith and what is the essence of faith. And to read that chapter, you see the great testament of faith that the great patriarchs in the Old Testament, our fathers in faith, and just throughout time, what that means. I would just encourage anyone thinking about the priesthood to really read that chapter prayerfully and consider, where is God calling you to grow in faith? Because that's really when you begin to encounter that more. You grow in faith, you grow in hope, you grow in love. And to grow in faith, hope, and love, to continue asking each day for increases in those virtues and for a greater faith. Lord, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. You know, that great line in the gospel. To really encounter that anew. So chapter 11 of Letter to the Hebrews, give it a read, and again, and again.
Great advice, and you know, the good news out there is that the church is alive, and we have good things happening with wonderful vocations being produced by the church, and we see that, you know, very concretely in these two men of God here who are on the show. I thank you both for your generosity in time and your generosity in answering God's call to the vocation that God has called me to and is now calling you to, which is such a glorious and wonderful life of the priesthood. I'm glad Deacon Matt Windle that you finally said yes. and you both gave such wonderful and great advice and that sort of thing. And the church will be blessed by your priesthood. So we praise God for that.
Thanks a lot, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Absolutely. So, well, praise God. We have a couple more minutes left. And, those who are out there, like we're all, in this together. We're all trying to build up a culture of vocations. And so, responding to God's call, in our own lives is just such a very important thing. We heard in this past week's gospel, that Jesus was not able to perform great miracles in his hometown. And he said, no prophet, is without honor in his own native land. And he was highlighting a problem that so oftentimes our communities can hold us back, can prevent a prophet from being a prophet. Oftentimes communities can prevent a man who's called to the priesthood from being a priest or, a woman called to religious life from being a religious and that sort of thing. And that we need to infuse in our communities this sense of we have to do it by God's way. That God's way is the best way and that we are a place that accepts our prophets and not only accepts our prophets, raises up our prophets to be, the men and women of God that they are called to be. We praise God for all the wonderful vocations that he's given to the life of the church. We ask that through, the intercession of Mary, our mother, that, our Heavenly Father will pour down the Holy Spirit upon us in a very powerful way, that we will come to know God's will in a deeper and fuller way, and so have our lives be transformed to imitate Jesus all the more fuller so that we can be the presence of Jesus in the world in a very powerful way. May God bless you. Please tune in next month to the Vocation Hour where we will hear, some more reflections on what we can do to build up a culture of vocations. May God bless you.